Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this
earth, not in this world. Thank you, everyone. That was a lot of fun. Actually, I was telling Mark, one of my favourite church memories as a little kid is watching a vicar do a dedication and the baby threw up on the vicar, and it's just, that's a happy place. Anyway, and that didn't happen, so I can now feel smug about that story as well. So Ethan did very well. Looked like he was enjoying himself and maybe wanted to go to bed. Mark, you're feeling that as well? Yeah, a little bit. So that is that. Actually, in this part of Christchurch Manchester, so we meet in a few different places in the city. That's the first time that we've done that. And when Mark and Susie asked me, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about this, perhaps to talk a little bit about children and that, why we would do that, why we would dedicate them to God. Now, you might decide to do, like Mark and Susie have done this morning, to do a dedication in this way. You may not. You may just think, actually, you know what, in my heart and in my prayer life, I'm going to dedicate my children or my grandkids or perhaps my nephews and nieces or my friends' kids. I'm going to do it that way. Either way, actually, pointing children to God is a really important part of being a follower of Jesus. Jesus was a big fan of children. We've seen that many times in the Gospels where he would make a beeline for the kids, want to talk to them, want them to help them feel engaged. And so us pointing children to Jesus actually is a big responsibility. And so I was thinking a bit about what we were doing this morning, thinking about the word dedication. Now, if you are of a certain age, the word dedication will bring a particular TV program to mind. So who remembers Record Breakers? Yes, a number of people would remember Record Breakers. And I remember watching this as a kid and enjoying it. And at the end of Record Breakers, Roy Castle, who presented it, yes, he would sing the song. And what was that song called? Dedication. That's right, dedication. You can hear the melody in your head, and then there would be a trumpet solo. I will never sing it nor play the trumpet solo, but that is what he would sing about that. And actually, there would be all these ridiculous things people would do to try and get in the Guinness Book of Records and other things that were less ridiculous as well, but we it was a popular program because we love stories of that sort of dedication against the odds in order to achieve something. We love hearing about people who have done that, often those that have been overlooked or overcoming quite serious obstacles in order to achieve actually quite incredible things. So think about Tanny Gray Thompson, for example. She was born with spina bifida and then gone on to become one of the great British Paralympians, and now is a baroness in the House of Lords. That required a level of dedication. Or perhaps Bear Grylls. He joined the SAS, then broke his back in a parachute accident and was told, look, you're probably never going to walk again. But he decided to prove them wrong, he would climb Mount Everest. And he did that 18 months after breaking 3 vertebrae in his back. And we love this, quite an aspirational, wonderful story of how someone is dedicated. And actually, in parenting, dedication is part of the job description. Just whatever way you think about it, we have to be dedicated. And dedication really is the willingness to give a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy to something because it is very important. And so today I want us to think a little bit about what being a dedicated parent looks like. And I also want to reflect on how God is a dedicated parent to us as well. And so we're going to read from Luke 2, 25 to 35. If you don't have a Bible, it will appear behind me. There is, thank you, Rich. But if you've got a Bible, you can open it there. And the context of this passage is Mary and Joseph, who are Jesus' mum and dads, have taken baby Jesus to the temple, which was very much the custom of the time. That's what they did, the temple in Jerusalem. And they do that. And so we'll just read this short passage here. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took them up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what had been said. And Simeon blessed them and then said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So Mary and Joseph actually are being dedicated parents. And this is one of the first ways we can be a dedicated parent, and that is by going. Okay, they were dedicated parents because they did what they were supposed to do, and they took their son to the temple. And it was important to them that actually Jesus, their little boy, their firstborn, would be brought before God. Okay, and that is what they were doing in that moment. The temple was the place where they believed gods and earth kind of met each other and mingled together. And so they were saying, right, we are going to bring our child before gods. And actually, dedication, when we think about kids, when we think about our children, perhaps nephews and nieces, maybe even friends, is to think, actually, I want to put my kids, these kids, before God. And it's a very deliberate act. They didn't do it by accident. They did it very deliberately. We're going to go and take our kids. And taking our kids places where they we believe they will meet God's actually is a very important thing. And now I'm a big admirer of parents with young kids, of which there are plenty here, when you bring them to church, okay? Because kids bring a certain amount of noise and chaos. You may not have noticed, and I rarely notice the noise that they make. But they do bring a certain amount. But when we bring them into community, actually, and it's easy for us to forget this because we do it most weeks and it becomes kind of a routine, and you kind of forget because you're scraping breakfast off the walls afterwards. It takes any amount of effort to get one kid into a pair of trousers that aren't comical. You know, it takes a lot of effort. And so you can kind of forget the important thing that you're doing. But actually, when you bring your kids in to a place where they could meet God, actually, that's a really big deal. And it's not easy, actually. And we should remember that. It's not easy because kids do bring a certain amount of noise and chaos. And you can turn up, you can put them in kids' work. You may even think, oh, actually, I've got to do kids' work myself. So you've been sat there in the worship time trying to stop someone punching you, little kids. Then you leave and then you're in the kids' work when you're trying to stop them punching you. And then you take them home. And you can think, gosh, that was hard work. But actually, that's a huge moment of dedication. A huge moment of putting our kids before God. So parents, when you are tired, when work is busy, when family just feels busy, when there are lots of time pressures on social life and things that you could be doing, sometimes going to church or being part of that community and being active can just feel like, oh, it's just another thing I've got to do. But the truth is, and we should remember this, this is a way of dedicating our kids to God. This is a way of saying, actually, I'm going to bring this kid, even though he's three and he makes noise and doesn't understand anything, I'm going to bring him, and I'm going to bring him often because it's an important thing, because it puts him before God. It's important that we teach our kids, actually, we go out of our way, we make sacrifice, even make a difficult decision for something that is much bigger than us. Actually, it's really important kids learn that the world doesn't spin around them, although in the early years it feels like it does, but actually teaching them, actually, you know what, we're part of something bigger, we're part of something more important, we're part of something that is actually very deeply significant. The world doesn't just spin around us. So we can be dedicated by going and by taking them with us. We can also be dedicated, like Mary and Joseph, by listening. So they are at the temple And they would be like any other parents. They have a super cute little baby and they're into the temple and they're a bit proud. But they also knew that something a bit special was happening. And there were any number of reasons they knew this, which would not be a common experience for any of us here. So Jesus, we believe, was born of virgin birth. So that is somewhat unusual, I'm sure you'll agree. So Mary and Joseph are going in knowing that. They're like, this has not happened before. And that would be true. That has not happened before nor since. And they would also be remembering the birth experience, the whole kind of in a stable kind of vibe. Also, a bunch of wise men turning up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Perhaps even they were still talking about what they did with myrrh. What do you even do with myrrh? They wouldn't have worked it out yet. Then shepherds turning up, and then also choirs of angels and trumpets and all sorts of things. Now, none of those happened when our kids were born. None of those happened. And I'm sure it would be true if you've had kids. None of those things took place. They were somewhat unusual. But still, they were just going there, taking their little kids. And then Simeon approaches them. Now again, they're somewhat used to strange people being interested in this kid and even angels turning up. But Simeon is saying something actually really quite remarkable to them. And they're amazed by this because perhaps the penny is beginning to drop about what their future, particularly the future of their son, might hold. And he says, look, I am looking, when I look at this kid, I'm looking at the salvation of all peoples. Effectively, this kid's going to save the world. And they're astounded. And then he says to Mary, look, a sword will pierce your own soul. And he says, look, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel. He's saying, look, this kid is going to polarize opinion. He's going to do something quite spectacular. And I wonder if maybe 30 years from then, when Jesus actually was doing that, when he was polarizing opinion, where people were flocking to see him, to be healed and spend time with him, and other people were working out how to kill him. I wonder if in those moments, Mary thought, oh, I understand what the sword that's kind of hovering is. There are people that are trying to kill my son. That sword would pierce her soul. And as Jesus hung on the cross, it wouldn't have been a shock to Mary. And actually, I wonder if she thought about Simeon's words at those times. As upsetting as it was, she knew what was happening. But Mary and Joseph, when they take their child to the temple, they go to listen to God for their child. And actually, part of our dedication as parents, but also as people who know other people with kids, and as we walk with people who have kids, is to pray and to listen. And to have very high hopes for them. We believe that actually, perhaps they will serve God in the future as well. Perhaps they will serve God in their workplace, in how they choose to work, maybe even the sort of jobs they do, that they would be godly in those things. In their friendships, they would be someone that people can rely upon, who will be good people, well thought of, in their relationships as well. We hope that they will be a great representative of God, of Jesus in the world. We hope that they would do that. And we listen to God. We pray that our kids would live for him, follow the path that he has chosen for them. And I should think Mary prayed that for her son. Actually, would Jesus follow the path that God has for him? And we may think, well, that's a clear and obvious path, but she would have still prayed that. She would have still believed it. And actually, we see in Jesus, there was temptation for him to go off that path. So we have to pray for our kids that they would follow the path that God has to them. And we also get to listen to God for help. You will be relieved to hear, God, how on earth do I deal with this particular situation? How do I bring these kids up? This one is being particularly awkward. What do I do? I remember actually Vicky's mum telling us a story about when Vic was little and struggling to get Vicky interested in doing stuff when she was a little kid. Do you remember this? And now Vic's mum just went and prayed, okay, like, this child only wants to watch TV and not do very much on a Saturday. What do I do to get this kid engaged in the planet? And Vic's mum was saying, actually, I felt God saying, do some baking and cooking with Vicky. Right. Now, Vicky's mum does not like baking or cooking. She's not interested in any level at all. She does it because they have to eat and that's about it. She's not bothered in it. But she decided, okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. So she started baking and cooking with Vic. And actually, as a little kid, Vicky loved it. And it was great time together and actually very formative in their relationship and help Vicky grow up into an adult. And actually, dedication is listening to God for our kids. And sometimes that's, look, I've got no idea what to do, please help me. And that happens more often than you'd like to think. Now, one example in being, and now our example, sorry, in being a dedicated parent comes from a dedicated God. And we need to think about that. And how is our God dedicated to us? Well, he is dedicated by giving to us. And actually, we can be dedicated in how we are parents because of the model that God gives for us in his Son, in how God decides, actually, I'm going to give my Son. And so John 3:16 is a very famous passage, but it just says that God loved the world so much that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in his Son should not perish but have eternal life. He says, actually, I want to give my Son to this. Now, a good parent, if they're faced in they find themselves in a situation where their child is suffering, maybe through illness or perhaps some difficult situations at school and kids being mean to them or who knows what happens, and you would think, oh, if I could be in that situation, if I could swap, I'm pretty sure I could deal with this, I could solve these problems. But you can't do that. If one of my kids is having a hard time at school and I turn up at school in the school uniform, that's not going to go well, is it? I can't swap places. If the kid is unwell and in a hospital beds and there are some children's nurses here, they would be able to say, actually, I've watched parents be in this situation where they do anything to swap places, but it can't be done. But actually, the Bible is pretty clear that God's not only wanted to swap places, he actually did. He would act on that desire. He could actually step in on our behalf. So he and his Son decided, actually, you know what, I'm going to step into the gap here. I'm going to step into what is a very dangerous situation. I'm going to step in to take punishment. I'm going to step in to take wrath and anger. And I do that voluntarily because I want to give myself to this. So to save his children, and we are his children, actually he gave his Son. So God is a dedicated parent to us by giving. And he's also dedicated by sacrifice. And Jesus actually went through some of the most excruciating, horrifying capital punishment that we've ever invented as a human race. And he went through that. He went through in our place. Actually, he stepped into the pain and difficulty of our world, of war, of famine, of harm, of abuse, of greed, of all sorts of things, of strife, of lust and envy. He stepped in and then he took all of it on himself. So this morning, actually, we're thinking about dedication. We're thinking of how we dedicate our children. But we should also think, how do I dedicate myself to God as well? As parents, as a family, as church family, actually, how do we dedicate ourselves to him? And how do we raise our kids to be dedicated to him as well? But we're also, importantly, most importantly, thanking God, actually, Lord, you are dedicated to us. You are dedicated to me. You are so dedicated, actually, in the situation where you thought, ah, oh, if only I could step in, you actually did. You actually were able to do that. And at the same time, you dealt with all the rubbish that we do to each other. So you swap places. He swapped places. So we can be free. So we can know freedom. So that we can have hope. So that actually we can find true purpose. And Mary and Joseph, as they stood there holding their little kid, they knew what his purpose was. And actually ours is very similar. Ours is to live for God, to worship him, and to live that out in all of our activity in the world. And actually, we get to be restored to our place as sons and daughters of God. God was so dedicated to the world that he sent his only Son. So just in closing, this isn't actually just about parents and children. When we have friends or people in church that have a new baby, actually, I'm often at the front of the queue because I want to cuddle that baby. It's when it's other people's and they cry, you just get that wonderful moment, you go, there you go, thank you, and off you go again. But you get to cuddle the baby for the first time. And I often find myself thinking a little bit, this little kid who has no idea who I am, barely knows anything about anything in the universe. But I'm thinking, actually, you know, with this little baby, I have a tiny bit of influence. Okay, and it's minuscule compared to parents and family, but I have a little bit of influence over this little kid. And actually, I have a hope for this little baby. And what am I hoping? Just in that moment thinking, well, I hope that they find God. Okay, that's the first thing for me. I hope they get to be found by God. And I hope that they live a life that is dedicated to God in some way. And that might happen when they're young. Maybe happen when they're much older. I became a Christian, I think, when I was about six. I can just about remember praying with my mum and then getting baptised when I was 10. But I hope that these kids will find God when they're young or when they're older. It doesn't matter. So my hope is for Ethan, actually, and all of the kids here at Kingsway, is that they would find God. And this morning, if you're here and you might be listening to this and thinking, actually, I don't believe this. I'm not a follower of Jesus this morning. Actually, I urge you to think about it. To think about, actually, this dedication that we have for our children. Where does that come from? Actually, that comes from our example of God the Father in heaven. A God, actually, who's swapped places with us out of his parental love and dedication. So, actually, we can be free. We can find our purpose again. We can have a relationship with God. Actually, we can sometimes complicate the Christian faith and make it about things that are less important. But really, our faith, our belief is that God is dedicated to us and that he calls us into his family.